Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
I have one friend text me, Speaks, and say, "You guys are going to Vegas, are you?" Ha ha ha. I was like, "Yeah, we are." He's like, "Oh, I might have to come through."
You know, we're road underdogs already. Vegas has picked to beat us, so.
This town is a make you town or a break you town.
Jarrett Payton. What's up, JP?
Lawrence Speaks. What's going on? Hey, listen, I know you guys are headed to the airport. I can meet you there. So
come on through.
You know what I'm saying? I'll roll with you. I know, especially for Speaks, you probably need security with all, you know, trying to fight off all the ladies at Stadium Swim. I could be that guy for you.
Thank you, Jared. That's selfless of you, man. I appreciate that.
You'll probably fall all over themselves for a couple of high-class guys like me and you.
No, wait,
you
want to
be fresh on the scene, right?
I know, but the new place is down the strip. Now, those places are supposed to be it.
Oh, Mike, you don't want all that Pirate of the Caribbean or the rock and roll grunge tip. You know, guys like me and you got to kick it here, old school.
Well, Spiegel and Holmes will be live from Vegas, from Circa there, for a special show, 11 to 12:45. 11 to 12:45 on a Saturday? That's after Inside the Clubhouse.
On ITC, Inside the Clubhouse.
I
call it that for short.
Oh, that's a good title.
Saturday, the sports book, I'm sure, is going to be popping with a great college football slate.
I mean, what do you think we're doing out here in the middle of the desert? That's the truth about Las Vegas. We're the only winners.
This town is a love you town and a shove you town.
And now, live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show, a special live edition from Circa Resort and Casino. We are at Stadium Swim. Speaks, they put us in the shade today.
Oh, man, I love this spot. We're off in the corner, but an unbelievable view. I feel like we're in right field at Wrigley. Like, we got the wall right next to us here. We got the bleachers behind us. We got an awesome view of the sports book. And this day is just going to rock, man.
Yeah, we've got USC Illinois on the big screen for us. We've got Premier League soccer is going on. All of the early games in college football are starting. It's
Ryder Cup's going to be up
Ryder
there.
Cup.
All it's the baseball's going to be up in a little bit, too.
So strange when you're out west and your sports day starts this early.
Oh, I know.
And then tomorrow with the game in Ireland, it's going to start at 6:30.
That's why you got to take care of yourself here in Vegas. I mean, look, in this den of inequity that is Las Vegas, where basically a different waitress in a bikini is holding up every vice imaginable. Yep. Like, here's one with a pitcher of margaritas. Here's one. She might as well be holding a bong. That's what it feels like. You know what I mean? And it's like, you just got to be careful.
It literally just happened.
I know. She just came over. She just came over and she offered anything. What would you like? Some of them are in bikinis and they're dealing blackjack. You know? I mean, this place is remarkable. But I've got things under control. Just so you guys know, the one substance I needed to procure here in Vegas, I took care of right away. I got the thing I needed, which was distilled water for my CPAP machine.
Oh,
so yeah. I could sleep well. So just so you know.
Have you been sleeping well?
Delightful.
Great.
Just outstanding. Thank you.
Then that's a win.
That's a win. I just want you to know that's how I'm rolling in Vegas. That's how heavy and deep my partying lifestyle is going to Vegas. I picked up that distilled water. Man, I found a guy. Found a guy. Who
yeah, down go. There in Fremont in one of the special shops they got going there.
Dude, like it was like, oh, you want the good stuff? It's back here. He took me to the high-end distilled water.
There's a speakeasy for distilled water for CPAP machines down
Damn.
Here. It's really, it's old school.
They had the flavored
historic.
Stuff. They had the flavored distilled water. I'm not ready for that. I kick it old school.
Okay.
You know?
Well, as long as you're getting good sleep, then that's a good thing. We're out here, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Ice Cube's Truth to Power 4 Decades of Attitude Tour. That's Monday, October 6th. If you can't win them on our show, you can get them at Ticketmaster. Be caller 6 when you hear me do an Ice Cube lyric. And you're going to call. Write this down or put it in your phone. 312-540-0670. So when you hear me do an Ice Cube lyric, that's when you call. All right. I got out and about a little bit after the show. And it's an interesting day because we were supposed to have Dan Wiederer here with us.
Yeah.
But there was some massive storm that just went through west of the Rockies. We were here at Circa, and they emptied the pool because there was lightning around here. But if you were in New Mexico, Arizona, or Colorado yesterday, there was problems.
And if, like, all of our friends that we've been talking about this week who are making trips out here,
yes,
some of them didn't get here. Some of them got diverted. I'm sure for you, the listeners, if you know people that were headed out here, some of them had crazy adventures in trying to get here because flights got canceled like crazy. My brother-in-law was given the choice to either fly the next day today and get here like 8 p.m. or fly last night to Los Angeles, rent a car, and drive 4 hours here. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
They flew to L.A., got into L.A. at like 11 p.m., drove to Vegas, got here at 4 a.m., and he is up and drinking at his hotel in a cabana right now.
Well, that's good.
I mean, that's what you get, you know? You got to – these are grown men times. If you got a flight that got adjusted, you got to step up. I mean, even if I couldn't find the distilled water, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
you gotta rise up and bring your A game to Vegas.
I found a dessert that defeated me last night.
I saw you show me a picture of it, man.
Because, you know, I love to sample dessert. And sometimes I just want to read the dessert menu. but I said, I'm going to try this thing. It was a croissant plus a brownie. A crownie, if you will. It was vanilla gelato.
Yeah.
Not a brosant, because that's what we call you back at the shop.
That was the nighttime show with brosant.
Man, he's classy like that. He's still a bro, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like
upscale, bro.
Yeah, he's upscale.
You know what? I'm gonna hold on to that nickname for my guy Clinton Yates. I'm
gonna
call him Brosant because he speaks French.
Oh, that's perfect.
So yeah,
that's perfect.
Although it works for me too because I love Montreal. So
sure.
maybe we'll both be Brosants together.
Who are your favorite Brosants? Light them up, Yannick Noah.
PK Subban.
Here comes the run on the Noah family.
That's right. Joe's available. Oh, he just went.
So I got the crownie, I got the gelato, I got the hot fudge, yeah. And they serve it on caramel.
What are they doing? That's too much.
It's a lot. I threw it on my Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes if you want to see it. It's ridiculous. And then
is caramel one of the dancers? Or? Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Caramel! Yeah!
We are in Vegas. The Peppermint Hippo getting it done.
So I quit.
Yeah.
I just quit.
That
and I
down.
Pushed it back.
Good
and I was
you.
Like, I'm done. I can't do this.
Dude.
And then I was like, I'm going to have to walk a little bit.
Whatever. That's what I'm saying. Whatever your vice is, it's
that's
here.
Mine.
It's here. And like, The Wheel of Fortune slot machines taunt me.
You said that when we got off the plane.
Every time I see one, it takes work for me not to just take dollars over and shove them in.
Is it just because you get the Wheel of Fortune?
It's the expectation of that. It's the dream of that. And you know what it is, honestly?
That you think you know how that game works compared to other slots?
A long time ago, I had a good slot run. And there was one day that I put
a $20 bill into a $1 slot machine, a Wheel of Fortune slot machine, and I won $5,000.
Oh, well,
like,
yeah.
Like 15 years ago. Maybe more, maybe 20 years ago. And like I think I flew to Hawaii with that money. Like
that's
it
great.
It was a game changer in my personal life at the time. So it's possible. Anything's possible. I'm Kevin Durant when I see Wheel of Fortune slot machines. You know what I mean?
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant also because I have four burner accounts.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett. Who got it wrong, right? It was supposed to be possible is nothing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's supposed to be possible is nothing. Anything is possible. And Adidas was like, really?
Yeah.
That's not the ad.
And I got to tell you, man, Chicagoans are crushing it. We've already had, what, four or five different Bears fans coming by here saying hello, a couple people taking pictures. Like we are everywhere.
Well, you know how part of my Phoenix thing is that it's very familiar because there's so many Chicagoans there. There's now like a bunch of different Chicago restaurants that are there that I like. But this weekend in Vegas has been old home week. Like just running into people. Last night was incredible because when I got in, I get ready to get on the elevator here at Circa. This guy walks out and I was like, is that Arturis Karnachovas for a second?
Yeah.
It wasn't. It wasn't. But this guy was 7 feet tall and he walked off and he goes, Lawrence. And I'm like, is that Arturis Karnachovas? It was not. It's a young man named Rafe, and he's clearly, you know, Russian or Lithuanian, Ukrainian.
So you know how you knew it wasn't Arturis? He wasn't chasing Josh Giddey around with a suitcase full of unnecessary money.
The way that
we did it. I can't believe it. We made it here. It's way earlier than we thought. But
yeah.
We mentioned the Josh Giddey contract.
Well, we haven't,
not directly.
But we haven't discussed it.
True. We had a running joke behind the scenes how long it would take us to mention the Giddey contract extension.
Really?
And we thought maybe like by week. No, it's still probably way too early.
Yeah.
All right, that's my bad. It was just an oblique joke reference.
It was a good joke.
It still counts, though.
No, I like it.
And we still haven't discussed
it.
We haven't discussed it,
and we're not going to. Not for a while.
I mean, sign me up for not discussing it.
So Rafe, the other reason I knew it wasn't Arturis is because Rafe was smiling and happy. And he was like, I love the show. I listen from Alaska.
Wow, that's tremendous.
So, that's been the beautiful thing. We just talked to a nice guy named Dan who's like, I listen from St. Louis.
St. Louis. Dude's been listening to The Score since he was 18, looked to be about 35 or something like that. Yeah, our people are here. The Bears.
Oh, wait, I got one more.
Please.
So this morning, because the crownie with the gelato and the caramel and the fudge.
You got to run that off.
I got up and I've been good. The last few mornings I've gotten up and done 3 miles. So I got up. I'm coming back. I'm rocking my DePaul gear. Security guard here at Circa is like, hey, are you from Chicago? Like, yeah. He's like, DePaul. I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you know Javon Freeman Liberty? And I'm like, yes, I was one of his professors at DePaul. He's like, that's my cousin. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, Marcus Liberty's my dad.
So Marcus Liberty's son. Come on now.
Only in Vegas.
And I'm just like,
that's amazing.
Chicago, man.
Wow.
We are everywhere this weekend. We are all over the place this weekend, and it's great.
Yeah, we really are. The Bears are here. That's why we're here. And Ben Johnson was talking about Vegas, right?
Like, yes.
The head coach of the Bears. And we're gonna do some really good, important,
very serious Ben Johnson stuff.
Yeah. A little bit later in the hour, right? Like, we're going to get to it later in the hour.
Yeah, at 11:45.
Yeah, the Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams and what that relationship is. We played a little of it yesterday, and there's more of it. And it's incredibly important and awesome and very rare and special for Chicagoans to have this relationship blooming. So we'll play that later on. But I haven't heard this. I've heard people talking about it. Ben discussing Las Vegas and this Raiders game.
When was your last time in Vegas?
Dude, it's been a minute. Yeah, we used to have some coaches go out there and, you know, a couple nights, and that's about it. But that's been a while, though.
One more fun question is, what was your first time in Vegas?
Oh,
I was a young buck, so I have an uncle that lives out there in that area, and we took a family trip out there, and all I remember is Cirque du Soleil. I'll never forget that. And then that was the first time I've ever been to one of the hibachi restaurants where they do it right in front of you, you know, and so that's about all I remember. But I was probably, like third or fourth grade, something like that. Yeah. Sorry, not too exciting.
What was your first time in Vegas? 21 and older.
We'll leave that there.
What you want to talk about, man?
Yeah. Oh, that's a fun exchange. I love the image of Ben Johnson. You said young buck. We were all picturing 23, 24.
Right. He meant like seven.
Yeah.
That's what he meant.
Cirque du Soleil is unforgettable. And I got to say, I remember the first time I was at a hibachi restaurant, and they're doing it right in front
of you. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've been to hibachi restaurants hundreds of times.
Still great.
It's still amazing.
It's still
great. Whenever you go.
It's an absolute thrill.
They do the volcano with the onion?
Yeah. That's it. That's got to be a trick play, right? Like the onion volcano?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we should slip that to him. That's a free one on us.
That's the stumble bum of hibachi restaurants, I think.
Putting the shrimp in the hat. Like, yeah, let's go.
That's where his love of trick plays was born.
Hibachi grills.
Seeing the hibachi chefs doing the thing. Who are your influences, Ben? Well, Mike Martz is one, and Dick Vermeil, and also this hibachi chef that I saw in fourth grade. But no, man, that's hilarious. And he doesn't want to talk about plus 21 in Vegas. They got work to do, man.
The Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I don't want to fully dismiss Vegas. It's an NFL team with NFL players.
I don't think you can dismiss them the same way you can dismiss Dallas's defense.
Retroactively.
Well, I mean, even going into it, like walking into last week's game, you saw that defense is bad.
Yeah.
And you saw what – I mean, think of it this way. The guy who torched them for 450 yards – got benched the next week.
He really did.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
So we knew that they were bad, and we knew that Dak was good enough to beat you in a shootout, but that rip away from Tyreek Stevenson was kind of a game-changing moment, and the Bears are able to ride that. I don't think the Raiders are that bad. And so it's and I don't think the Bears are that good. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like they played really well last week, and they deserve all the credit for that. But you don't want to get too high on your own supply,
yeah,
and walk into this game, and then Max Crosby makes you have a terrible day.
Well, there it is, right there. Like there is no one to fear in that Dallas front seven.
Nope, they traded that guy away.
They traded that guy away
to the blood rival,
and so everybody knew that there's no one to fear. And Ben, like you know, one of the lasting quotes from this week is the way that Ben talked about Max Crosby with such reverence very early on in the first time that he addressed the Raiders. He talked about him as a game wrecker, a game plan wrecker. They have a dude to fear. And oh, by the way, the Bears don't have their starting right tackle, their former first-round pick.
Yes.
Darnell Wright is out, which is, man, this is the wrong week on the road to have Darnell Wright out.
It's the exact wrong week. And the reasons why, and Olin went through them with us, and it was great, and we'll get back to some of that in a little bit. But the idea that your left tackle doesn't play well on the road, your right tackle is unavailable. You have to deal with one of the premier pass rushers in the league who can kind of pick his poison down to down.
Yeah.
And it might force your hand in what you want to do creatively, where maybe you're in a jumbo set because one or both of your tackles is going to need help.
Cole Kmet is going to block a lot in this game.
He's been a really good player.
He's been really good. He can do absolutely everything. I think it was Olin yesterday talking about everything that Cole's doing. And you saw it even on the 19-play drive. He's just all over the place. They can use him everywhere. When they're in single tight end sets, it's been almost all Cole in that set because they can use him as an H-back. They can use him on the edge. They can put him in the slot. They can do whatever. But, I mean, he's going to have to stay at home and help a tackle a lot in this game.
It's a very scary thing. As a matter of fact, hey, Baby T, let's load up the Olin here. This is a good chunk of Olin kind of explaining all of the things that you need to keep in mind about Darnell Boyd. Darnell Wright.
Matthew Boyd. Sorry, excuse me.
Michael Boyd, Matthew Bush. What Darnell Wright's void is if he's not playing.
Yeah, I think they'll start Theo, right, with the way they've been going. And then, like you're saying, if something does happen to Braxton, who isn't 100% healthy yet, Coach Roschard told us that last week, right, that he's working his way in. And if they got a pass pro late in this game, they might be in trouble again, right, because they were going to actually have Theo Benedict over there fighting with Braxton. So they do have a problem there. Look, guys, as you guys know, if we went into this season and I asked you guys, hey, man, they're going to go to Las Vegas, no matter how good Las Vegas is, Darnell Wright and Jalon Johnson are going to be out. What do you guys think? Right, like they're missing two of their really good football players, and not the week you want to lose Darnell Wright. So their offensive line will shuffle a little bit. I think they'll go with Theo to start, and then you know Ozzie Chipillo. If somebody gets hurt, Theo will kick over the left tackle, and Ozzie will go in their right tackle.
I want to go back for a second because I think you're right. Max Crosby is a monster. In watching the tape, does he pick where he wants to be lined up? Does he stay on one tackle, or do they move him around and even kick him inside?
Yeah, they move him around and kick him inside. Like, you know, Lawrence, you're watching the tape, and if you can run games with this guy and on the move, he's dangerous. He has amazing ability to make his body small so you can't put your hands on what we call the near point. Offensive lineman, we're always trying to hit the near point with our hands, right? Take the edge off the rush. He has amazing ability to make himself small, get close to the ground, and finish on a sack. He even does that on run plays. He gets up the field. He puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the offensive line to account for him and to get him blocked. He is a weapon, man, there for the Las Vegas Raiders. He is fun to watch on film. And like you're talking about, Lawrence, they'll move around. They'll find his matchup, and then he's going to attack you.
So I wonder, Olin, you know, Dave Wanstead brought it up with us yesterday when we were on in middays. Does Ben go to six linemen? You know, we got Colston Loveland injury problems as well. So Durham Smythe might need to be out there as the second tight end, not as the third tight end, as he was in the second half of that game. Who knows? Like, I mean, what might Ben do?
Yeah, he does all that anyway, right? Speaks when you watch the film. I mean, he used Theo a lot last week. They're always giving presents to Braxton Jones. Now you just have to give both your tackles presents in the in the third down of the 19-play drive. You remember they got the third, I think it was 8 or 9, right? The amazing, heroic 19-play drive. And Caleb Williams hits DJ Moore. Caleb Williams read the defense, read the blitz wasn't coming, or if the linebacker did come, the center had him. He switched the play. He put Cole Kmet, and I think he brought Swift up to the line of scrimmage and gave both tackle chips and body presence and drilled the ball to DJ Moore. So things like that, you would expect to see a little more. You got to be careful always having an extra tackle in the game because obviously you take away one more weapon on the field. And if I'm the Raiders, I say, look, if Ozzie Chipillo comes in the game to help protect the quarterback, let's just blitz him. Right, let's just blitz one more guy, add one more guy to the rush, because that's one more guy that can't go out and catch a pass. So we'll see how he does it. Coach Johnson uses a lot of formations, a lot of personnel, uses an extra tackle, what we call jumbo, right? Jumbo formation, gets the guy on the field, gets some more linemen out there, help them block. But last week, they were using receivers, they were using running backs, they were using tight ends. They were using everybody to get their tackles some help. Thankfully, as you guys probably I've read, you guys are in Vegas. I know people in Vegas. They don't expect it to be that loud there for the Chicago Bears. So thankfully, they won't have to deal with crowd noise and be a step behind the rusher.
So there it is, my old pals, Max Protect and Chip Help. Both those guys are going to have to show up and be a big part of the game plan, Lawrence.
Yeah, they're going to have to do their job for sure. Oh, I want to go back
to something
darkness,
you said. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
He said that right before the skies completely got dark gray.
Yeah, it's weird because he said that, and then like the clouds came in, the lightning struck, and then everyone had to get out of the pool.
Uh-huh. God was like, I hear you, Olin. I got your darkness right here.
And you know why God would be amenable to that with Olin? Because Olin believes in God's play duo.
He loves God's play.
He's a big fan of it.
That's the only play Roschon Johnson's allowed to
God's
rush.
God's play down there.
Speaking of Olin, before Chicago takes on Las Vegas, tune in tomorrow from, well, that's us, tune into their pregame show, which will be 11 to 1:45 over your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and not me, Mully. Says myself.
It does.
Am I hosting tomorrow?
No, that's fine. Well, congrats.
Apparently, yeah, no.
No?
You know, I didn't even. I should have looked at that. They just gave it to me. They gave it to me when I walked out the door.
Yeah, I'm better than that.
Well, maybe you are hosting tomorrow.
Maybe. I mean,
maybe it is.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's other stuff thrown at us.
I should have taken care of that, guys. I'm not better than that. So I should have taken care of
it. I'm not better than that.
Yeah, no.
But it'll be Olin Kreutz, as it usually is. Olin, Patrick, and Mully. They've got the game. Then immediately they've got post-game and have instant reaction of the post-game show presented by TemperTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And let me just say, as we're talking about Max Crosby, that guy is a game wrecker. And, you know, you better not wreck yourself. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Better check yourself.
Better check yourself.
Before you riggedy wreck yourself.
I got you.
You hear what I'm saying? You better check yourself.
Yeah.
If you're the Bears, before you riggedy wreck yourself.
I have never riggedy wrecked myself. I'm proud. Like, I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot.
There was a time when we thought maybe.
Yeah. I know. Listeners probably heard it. Like, Speaks might be getting ready to riggedy wreck himself.
But he chiggity checked himself.
I did.
Some may say Max Crosby on the edge is bad for your health.
I would agree that they would say that.
Call the number.
All right, we need
you are helping out the Saturday crowd.
Yeah, we don't get a chance to talk to the Saturday crowd. No, we want them to win those Ice Cube tickets, so call the damn number. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, PCA was on Inside the Clubhouse, ITC. And it was good to hear him talk about his growth and continued growth.
I think this is a really good moment to talk to Pete because he went through some stuff this year and he seems to be back. And he also got to 30 homers, which everybody knows that he really wanted. He got there.
Yep. 30.
Yeah. So, and he's a very smart and thoughtful, introspective young man. I thought David and Bruce absolutely crushed that interview.
So we're going to share some of that and talk about what PCA has meant to the Cubs. The Cubs have to play it straight up today because the Padres won last night. And Fernando Tatis Jr., shocking that he would come up with a big hit. Just shocking. Speaking of homes, we are at Circa. It's Stadium Swim. If you have not booked a trip this winter, it doesn't have to be for a football game. Just come out here. You're going to love it. We promise. Back after this on The Score.
On ITC, inside the clubhouse.
Oh, I
call it that for short.
Oh, that's good, Tyler. That's good. ITC. He did say that. He did. Everybody loves playing for Marty Peavy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show, live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Cubs are going to the playoffs. Whether they're going to host games is still in question, at least for one more day. The magic number is one for that. We'll see how it goes these next few days, and now they're forced to kind of play it straight up today instead of giving everyone two rest days before the rest day before the playoff series starts.
Inside the Clubhouse is baseball talk 52 weeks a year on Saturday mornings. They should try that on Sunday, too. That's just one thought that I have. They do a great job, and today they had Will Venable, the White Sox manager, and they had Pete Crow Armstrong, the young burgeoning superstar who became just the second Cub ever to go 30 and 30 with homers and steals yesterday.
And he's the first Cub to go 30-30-30 if you add in doubles. It's amazing. But he's still growing as a person and as a player, and he talked with Inside the Clubhouse about that.
I mean, it's going to continue to be hard for me. I got to make the choice to process everything, you know, in the best way possible for everyone. It all starts with me, obviously. I've kind of continued to have my eyes opened as to how I can kind of, you know, bring the energy down in the dugout when the focus isn't where it should be. So I think it's a nice, you know, it's an important thing to note. Is the way that I'm carrying myself more than anything. I think now at this point I've seen how long the season is, and if I really just want to beat myself up all the time, then I'm gonna have to find a way to do that works for everybody. But I just don't think that's the proper plan of attack. I think that's helped me a lot. You know, being able to shift the focus to going to play defense, or just going and directing my energy to our next batter, kind of taking one out of Nico's book, who kind of seems to, you know, to process really well from the outside looking in. At least I just think he's one of those guys who keeps the energy right where it should be, and I think that's something that I'm capable of as well. So I will always consider this year to be my first real year, only because I've played every day, and I think with that I've gotten to dive into really following the guys who do that as well. You know, the Nikos and the Ians and the Dansbys, the Michael Bushes, but then I also get to dive into, you know, to JT and soak up all of his experience. I think that's one thing that we've done really well this year, and kudos to Jed and Carter for bringing in the right people. We got the people who have the necessary experience, I think, to help a guy like me. You know, Nico being one of those guys who I think we share a similar, you know, similar style of play, similar motor. And then Ian being in the outfield with me, you know, we get to talking a lot. And I named four guys, but I could kind of go down the list. I mean, Matty Boyd from the pitching side of things, I've loved getting to talk to him and pick his brain. And it's everyone from Nico to the Jaguar, man. Like, I think that's, we just got such a good clubhouse in terms of the gel and unity and togetherness and whatever you want to call it. I just think, we got the clubhouse built to play a long time, and I mean, I've gotten better each day just being around these fellas.
That is really, really good stuff. That is Pete Crow Armstrong talking about how he processes his emotions, good and bad, but mostly bad, when things go wrong, and things will always go wrong. It's baseball. It's a game of failure, and you got to deal with it. It's fascinating that it's clearly been brought up to him that when he focuses on the negative and beats himself up, it can bring the energy down in the dugout.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing for him to realize, because forget guys like me or us or whoever, as you're watching, like, boy, I don't like that as a fan. For your players and your teammates to be like, hey, man, it brings the energy down. It puts the focus where it can't be. So you got to find some other way to do that. That's a very sensible and real conversation to have over the course of a season with a young guy.
Well, and we also end up seeing our guy Nico being a standard bearer for how to go about doing things and processing it and figuring out like what your personality is as a player. It takes a while. And I like that he's like, yeah, this is kind of my first year.
Yeah.
because I'm out there every day and I have to figure out how to handle everyday challenges of I didn't have a good at bat. I made a huge mistake in the field. Processing that and then getting ready for the next at bat or the next chance when you're going to be able to make a play for your team. I don't know how – if there's anyone who doesn't like that kid, I would question you if you don't like that kid.
How about – you know what is great about the Nico comp? We got to take a break in a second. We'll talk to Nico about this on Tuesday, hopefully, depending on the time of the game for the Cubs playoffs. Nico expresses himself on the high end when things go well, just like Pete does.
Yep.
Like Nico lets himself get super high. The way he slides into home plate, the way he screams around the bases. He expresses the fun and the joy, but he doesn't beat the hell out of himself about the bad. So that's a great person for Pete to look at.
We need to share this with you. If you've not heard it, it's really amazing. If you want to know what it takes to help build a quarterback and what the relationship is between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, don't go anywhere. We're going to share it with you next here on The Score.
We're back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
For the more of the Spiegel and Holmes show, live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tune into The Score all Monday for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We'll be live here from Circa from 2 until 6 with full reaction to tomorrow's game. Speaks yesterday, Ben Johnson was really good talking about his relationship with Caleb Williams. It was kind of beautiful.
So it was beautiful, and it was the kind of thing that exposes Bears fans to something I believe we've never truly experienced in this town, which is the offensive-minded head coach who wants to drive, teach, mold, build, and also love the young quarterback prospect.
Here's what that process is like, according to Ben.
We're not called to be here to be friends or be cheerleaders. We're here to push, to challenge, to support. You know, there's a number of things that the best coaches in my lives have really imprinted on me. And I picked up, whether I was a player or as a fellow coach, just taking it from other guys. And so I really think that's important. And it's not what the player wants to hear all the time. Sometimes it's what he needs to hear for us as a team to succeed, but also for him as an individual to get a little bit better. And you can't shy away from that. I think at this level, the best coaches I've been around, and I think it's an art, they're the demanding ones, that there's a vision for how a play needs to go, or there's a vision for how a fundamental needs to be executed. And you don't waver from that belief, and you make sure we're getting it right. And so, I try the best I can to emulate some of those good ones I've been around in my past. And I think that's probably where I've seen some downfalls of certain coaches, is they have been afraid of conflict and telling a player how he sees it. I learned over the last few years that, you know, when there's silence, there's usually negativity fills that void and breeds some resentment either way in a relationship. And so if you feel a certain type of way, it doesn't matter if you're the player, you're the coach, you need to bring that out and make sure we're all on the same page. We all have the same goal at the end of the day. And, I've seen some relationships go sideways because just the communication aspect wasn't right. And, Caleb and I have a great relationship right now. I can't ask for anything better. I think he's wired the right way. I think he's getting better every single day he comes into the building. He's putting in the prep time that's necessary for us as an offense to put points up on the board, and I think we're going to continue to see him head the right direction.
Has there been any in those exchanges, has it gone the other way at all, where you have kind of come away with something you understand better about the way he plays the game and have a better sense of how to coach him? Or is it pretty much like coach to player, boss?
I mean, the more time we spend together, particularly in one-on-one settings, I think that's the one thing that I've learned over the years is when you get sit down between two guys, that's where the guard comes down a little bit and you can really speak the truth how you see it. And you're not worried about egos. You're not worried about feelings. You're not worried about your personal pride because you got other people in the room that are observing. And so, I think he and I have had a number of one-on-ones. We sit down and I get to know him. He gets to know me, how I work, how he works. And we're just in the beginning of this, too. I think that's the best part of it. I feel so strongly about him as a player and the direction he's heading that we're just going to continue to get better. We're going to grow together.
What's been the biggest challenge to navigate in your relationship with Caleb? Is it trust, confidence, maturity?
There really hasn't been a challenge. We're just two guys that have the same goal right now. And I think a united mission really brings people together. And that's what we have. Not just me and him, but this entire locker room, this coaching staff. I know personality-wise, we don't know each other fully yet. We've been on a race to figure each other out from spring to training camp, and the chemistry organically is starting to mesh. But overall, we're all going the same direction, and we all want the same things for each other. And so even though the first two games didn't go the way we wanted, we bounced back the right way. Well, this week we got a whole nother mission, which is to find a way to get our first road win and piggyback on the success we had last week. And so we're all united in that mission, and we're going to do our best to put our best foot forward.
What are some of the challenges? What have you learned so far about coaching Caleb in games and what works for him in you guys' dynamic and how that might differ from the practice field?
Yeah, game day is completely different than practice. I've always felt that way, and it's really no different. I give him his space. He doesn't need me in his ear all the time. I do nothing but support him, whether it's through the headset communication or on the sideline. I might give him a nugget or two of what direction I plan on calling it coming up. But other than that, I feel good about JT. JT's doing a really nice job just navigating any emotion that goes up or down over the course of the game. And Caleb is too. I think he's staying really steady here for these first 3 weeks, just whether something good's happening or something bad's happening, just staying the same guy and hitting that reset button when he comes to the sideline. So I don't have to do a whole lot on game day. He gets enough from me during the week that on game day, I it's a treat for me to go out and see him perform and compete.
I am so glad we played that whole bit, and that you and I will have a chance to just kind of internalize that. There's so much there. JT Barrett being the guy who rides the emotional wave on game day, not Ben, makes all the sense in the world. I guess the thing for me, Lawrence, I always go back to what I'd heard about Ben Johnson early on was that he's a real dude, a real communicator, a real genuine guy who you can actually talk to about stuff. And he will show you anger. He'll show you all of it. And he's like a genuine guy. I think the Bears got a real one. I don't know if it's going to work. Like, so far, there's some really good signs that this thing with him and Caleb's going to work. But I think Ben Johnson's a real dude.
I appreciate this. As someone who spent a lot of time in that room talking to coaches, and sometimes you feel like it's pulling teeth, you know, trying to get them to open up about stuff. And occasionally you get a glimpse into some things that when coaches want to say some stuff, but to have a coach go on for 5 minutes and be open to follow-up questions about this relationship and having put so much thought into it, I find it amazing. I think that your point that you made yesterday in our on our show and in the group chat of we've never seen this before. I think that's right. That we haven't seen this before. And my hope is that Ben's seeming understanding of psychology plus offense, right?
Yeah.
I hope that it turns into everything that he imagines with this particular quarterback, because he's putting in, like, the sweat equity is obvious from the way that he talks about it, from the way that Caleb talks about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. And knowing the offense and knowing the league and knowing football and loving ball, all that stuff comes first. But you got to have the psychology or else you're not going to build the real thing.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's got that too, whoo, man, that's how you get $14 million a year. I'm pretty sure. That's how you get a veteran like Jared Goff to reach levels that he could have only dreamed of.
Like, the buy-in is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Something to watch here going forward. I know it's early and I don't want to get too ahead of the season. It's been 1 week, okay? But
that's
twice in 1 week that Ben has went out of his way to mention JT Barrett. And JT already being with Ben in Detroit, building quite a resume here. He may be the first one that gets poached, possibly. You know, something to look ahead for next season, maybe.
And I will tell you that you can tell who's a good coach because the coaches want their people to move on.
Yes.
Like, that's why, like, I think Dan Campbell is that dude, because he was like, yeah, we want all of our guys to go do something, and I'm going to find another one. Like, you have to have the belief, if you're a good coach, that you'll be able to find a suitable replacement as you're helping to develop the people that are working with you. Like, yeah, and that's something that goes beyond sports.
Detroit, like, found another one on defense. Aaron Glenn's gone, and good luck to Aaron Glenn, but they clearly found another one on defense.
They may have found another one on offense, too, which is problematic for everybody in the NFC.
Or maybe Ben just built the thing well enough and left it in good enough hands.
Maybe. We will find out. Let's talk with Dan Wiederer. He's going to join us. We will talk about the trials and tribulations of getting here. We'll talk to him about that, and we will talk to him about the Bears as they get ready to take on the Raiders without their starting right tackle and without Grady Jarrett and maybe without Kyler Gordon again. That's next here on The Score.
Lickety-split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety-split.
Lickety-split Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter for The Athletic.
I think that's the way that you get out of mediocrity being acceptable for an organization like this that has really kind of embraced its mediocrity for as long as I've covered them, for sure, and longer beyond that. So it takes a shakeup every once in a while. It takes somebody to say things out loud, both in front of the team and in front of the media, to kind of get people's attention.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Stick with me on this one. Have you ever been to the Wiener Center?
I have not, but I've heard about this, the four touchdown thing. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, congrats, everybody. You got free hot dogs.
Looks a little different than when you're up in a press box having hot dogs.
Dan Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer? Go ahead, Dan.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to have Dan Wiederer join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. If you want to come and be a part of it, just saw the Philly special being run by the Illini as they take a 13-7 lead over USC, because we are here at Stadium Swim, where we were hoping the Dan Wiederer would be with us here at Stadium Swim, but he got caught up in some of the most ridiculous weather that was west of the Rockies last night. Have you made it into Vegas yet?
I am in Vegas, Lawrence. So I am not only in Vegas, I also just watched that Luke Altmyer touchdown catch, and so all things are looking up right now.
There you go. I got to tell you, though, Dan, I miss you here. I was looking forward. We were looking forward to hanging with you here. The giant screen up on Stadium Swim has, by my count, 7 different football games right now and the Ryder Cup all happening. And people are swimming on 4 different levels of swimming pools while waitresses bring them anything that they want. This place is heaven, and I wish you were here to enjoy it, sir.
How long are you going to be there?
Today, you mean?
Yeah.
Hours. Hours and hours and hours. We will discuss. But, you know, we played that 5-minute chunk of Ben Johnson talking about the relationship with Caleb Williams. And I don't think that Bears fans have ever had this with an offensive-minded head coach really trying to do the full-on multi-layered relationship build with a good young quarterback prospect. I don't think we've ever seen it. Have you seen it? Have you been around this kind of thing? It's the aspirational dream that every football organization wants these days.
I think you've probably heard it from me over the last 6 months, just being very fascinated and interested in that sort of infectious ambition that Ben has and the leadership style that he has and his willingness to hit so many things head on. And I think this is one example of it where there's purpose behind everything he does, and there's purpose behind every place that they want to go. And now they're just trying to find the code that gets all of this unlocked. Obviously, last week was a step in the right direction. The only way that you keep going in the right direction is to keep stepping that way. And so they've got to use that performance last week, build on it, and then, as you said, Matt, just continue to build this relationship in a way that's productive for both sides.
It's kind of amazing, Dan, where you have a week where a lot of things went right for the Bears. And I've been, the Speaks and I have been kind of going back and forth on playing like wet blanket and like stealing yourself for a team that's not as bad as the team
Correct.
That you played
Correct.
Last week. And so how do you think the Bears are approaching the idea of, yes, you had tremendous success. Yes, you had the offensive player of the week. Yes, you had a breakthrough moment for Tyreek Stevenson. Yes, you had all of this good stuff happen, but this is a week-to-week league. And one of the things I said to Speaks yes. was, think of it this way. The guy who threw for 450 yards against the Cowboys defense isn't starting this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's perspective, right? And you have to understand, again, what that was and what that wasn't last week. And you know, this week, as you mentioned, the opponent is not as bad. And what's even worse is their best player is lining up at a portion of the line where you are depleted, right? And Darnell Wright is out at right tackle, and Theo Benedict's going to start. And so now you've got to figure out how much Theo can handle on his own against Max Crosby, how much help you got to give him, what that offensive game plan needs to look like to get yourself in a position to win this football game under very different circumstances. And we'll kind of see how it flows. You guys have lived it the same way I have over the years, where there's big wins followed by disappointing losses. And it's just kind of the existence of following the Bears. And hopefully they find a way to make some things happen tomorrow, because in a season like this, this is one of those got to have it games, right? Like, if you want to prove your relevance, this is one you got to go out and take.
Dan Wiederer with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Lawrence mentioned Tyreek Stevenson. Fascinated to hear Dennis Allen still very critical and firm of Tyreek on Thursday. What do you make of what seems to be the motivational awakening of Tyreek Stevenson and how this coaching staff is dealing with him to this point?
Yeah, I've had a chance to get to know Tyreek pretty well over the last 3 years, and I really appreciate his self-awareness of the things that he has to work on. Like, he knows what his flaws are, and he's trying his hardest to fix them. One of the biggest flaws is focus, and it's focus that eats into his consistency at times. And so now you have a coaching staff that was similar to the last one, that they're just harping on, look, like, the talent is there. You've heard Ben say, look, like, he's got everything in his skill set to be a big time corner in this league. And now it's about the consistency aspect, which starts with the focus aspect. And so Tyreek's just got to take performances like he had last week. He's got to, you know, follow another good one. And he's got to understand at all times that focus is kind of the thing that gets him in trouble at times. And so he's just got to lock in and figure out a way to continue building his career. Because if he can, there's some pretty cool rewards waiting for him if he can put together performances like last week on a regular basis.
I don't think that Ryan Poles has a ton of scouting and development wins, but I do think that the ones he have are like Disney movie-esque. Tyson Bagent and now Theo Benedict. Like, it's kind of amazing that a Canadian player would find himself in a position to start an NFL game. An undrafted Canadian player yeah. is going to start a game. What's this guy like, and how has he impressed the Bears?
Theo's got a combination of confidence and work ethic that I think has been kind of the engine for where he's gotten to earn this opportunity. And that's always the fun part of a new coaching staff coming in is when they truly do offer a clean slate and say, you know, this is a meritocracy, and we're gonna put the players that we believe in most in the positions to help us. And so Theo's earned this opportunity through some pretty unique circumstances with that revolving door at tackle and the way it's gone over the last 4 or 5 months. And now he's got a chance tomorrow to take a big step forward. It's not easy. And we talked about having to match the motor of Max Crosby tomorrow, right? In the first time you've ever been in a quote-unquote road game and trying to make yourself ready for how big that moment can be, but treat it like it's a little moment. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he does with the first extended action in a very high profile situation in a very important game. And we'll have a very meaningful discussion, I think, on Monday about how he held up.
Yeah, I wonder what the other dominoes are to fall from the absence of Darnell Wright, like tomorrow. Like, are there eight offensive linemen active? Is it a season-high snap count for Durham Smythe so he can chip help and max protect? Like, what are we looking at here, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, yeah, I think Durham Smythe's going to be needed. I think that you are probably going to see Ozzie Chipillo active in a, you know, an emergency type of role. And then you're just going to have to, you know, cross your fingers and hope that you can play that game at as close to full strength as you are with the players you bring to the table. And so it'll be fascinating. You know, again, like I appreciate Ben's willingness to try to put together new game plans every week that are very opponent specific. And so this is a very specific challenge that they have tomorrow to try to, you know, be acknowledging of their weaknesses and their deficiencies and then go out and attack where they see vulnerabilities with the Raiders' defense.
All right, so Theo Benedet is the swing tackle. Ozzie Chipillo, your second-round draft pick, is the backup swing tackle. Is he better than the backup swing tackle? And who is that? Like, who's the third option after Darnell Wright? I don't even know who that is on this roster.
I mean, it'd probably be Amagaji, and you know, he's been banged up and hurt. And so this is where we are right now with the offensive line and that revolving door. And you know, you'd hope over the course of this year that Ozzie Chipillo finds a way to earn more trust and confidence, because obviously it didn't materialize throughout training camp. And like you said, this is a premium draft asset that has been relegated to inactive duties, and that's not good, right? And so you're going to have to figure out a way to bring him along and get him to contribute at some point, because if you don't, that just every time that you miss on one of those day two picks and miss badly, you set yourself back eons of where you're trying to get to. And so hopefully they can continue the development process and get the best out of him before long.
Watching Tremaine Edmonds last week, I feel like that was his best game as a Bear. We haven't seen a lot of that version of him. Why do you think that is? And is there something about Dennis Allen's defense that will allow him to maybe be a better version of himself?
You know, we'll see, Lawrence. And you know, the knock on Tremaine since he came into the league is that he's a steady player, but he's not a guy that makes a lot of splash plays. And the splash plays last week came in part because you were playing with a lead and then a big lead, and you were able to really be aggressive defensively in a way that created pressure on Dak, and then the ball was coming out, and you had an opportunity to make plays on the ball. It's going to be interesting as well to see what happens when T.J. Edwards gets back and is playing again, and kind of how they work that linebacker core and the rotation. And I think they've been very impressed with some of the things that Noah Sewell has given them while T.J. has been out. And so there's a little bit of evolution at that position that's going to be interesting to watch. Again, this is one of those ones where it's like, I'll believe it when I see it three or four times, not just once. And so that's probably the next challenge for Tremaine Edmonds, just as it's a challenge for so many guys on this team that has to prove that it's capable of, you know, being consistent and having success on a regular basis. And if I stumbled there through that answer, I was just watching USC hit a trick play for a long touchdown in my
so were we. so were we. This is life. This is life doing live radio on a Saturday morning, Dan.
It's being called back.
Get that guy on the ground. Get that guy on the ground.
Amazing. Hey, man, you wrote about Caleb Williams and what the week was, the great game, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week game, and what it wasn't. What wasn't that game for Caleb Williams?
Well, it wasn't an arrival, right? And so, like, that's what we have to just be prepared for, because we've done it too many times. You guys are very aware of the times that we've proclaimed the arrival of a quarterback, and it hasn't been so. And so I think it's a long game with Caleb. It's trying to find a way to consistency. What I loved most about the performance, and I've said it a number of times, is just how clean it was. And it was awesome to see the big plays. The explosives are really fun. But the winning football comes in taking care of the football and not taking sacks and having your offense operation be so smooth that you go pre-snap penalty free for a game, which is really nice to see. And that's kind of the standard that they're trying to set there. And so I really did love the way Caleb handled some of the quarterbacking duties within that game that were then obviously complemented by some of those big touchdown passes that were huge to getting him Offensive Player of the Week honors and getting Chicago free hot dogs and having the city get a chance to take a big deep breath this week with a lot of fun in the air as they try to build on that.
How real was the Bears' flirtation with Ashton Jeanty?
Yeah, it was real. I mean, there were things that were going to need to happen for that to come together, and the Raiders were kind of the team that you were wondering, were they going to use that valuable draft capital up that high, or were they going to let him pass? And then, you know, Ashton Jeanty was definitely on their radar in a serious way, and so it didn't come to be, and then Calvin Banks didn't come to be, and they wound up with Colson Loveland as their first-round pick. But you could hear it earlier this week how sincere Ben Johnson's admiration was for both Ashton Jeanty, the kid, and Ashton Jeanty, the football player, who they're going to have to be very, very conscious of tomorrow, even running behind a vulnerable Raiders offensive line. They're going to have to find ways to keep him from breaking that game open.
Why hasn't the Raiders' run game popped, and why hasn't the Bears' run game popped?
The Raiders, from folks I've talked to, it's just the offensive line has just not been good. They've got a right tackle that's going to be vulnerable in pass protection in DJ Glaze, and so Dennis Allen's going to have to really go after him and plant those seeds of doubts in his head.
He's gonna spin a great set, though, man. DJ Glaze is gonna spin an unbelievably great
there
set.
At Circa. I think he's got at 3 o'clock today at Circa. I think you got DJ Glaze, right? Like,
yeah, DJ Glaze, and then Montez Sweat.
Yeah,
he's gonna be here at Stadium Swim, and then he's gonna get a good dinner and be ready for tomorrow's game.
Yeah, that's how it works out here. So it's good to see him multitasking. Lawrence, as to your question about the Bears run game, I think they've sort of come to the realization that it's a little bit of everything. It's the line, it's the blocking, it's the perimeter. You know, it's just trying to create that identity. I thought it was notable again Friday when Ben was talking about leaning into this early bye. You know, they're going to get to hit the bye week after this game tomorrow, and they're going to get a chance to really get a well-timed reset to figure out who they are and who they aren't and kind of try to recalibrate and move the knobs around in a way that works. And I think the running game is going to be a part of that as they try to kind of set themselves up for the reboot coming out of the bye for a stretch of football that's going to be very important.
I'm pretty happy with what I've seen with Illinois' bounce back after that demolishing at the hands of Indiana last week. Are you satisfied that they have put what happened in Bloomington behind them?
I mean, looks good right out of the gates here so far. I'm glad that penalty came out there a couple minutes ago to overrule that touchdown. Look, like this has been an impressive rise under Bielema, and he gets them reset quickly, sometimes within games. Obviously, it didn't happen last week in Bloomington, but it would be nice to get this kind of victory, go to Purdue next week, and then you've got Ohio State on the horizon, not too far up the road for another measuring stick that would be fun test to take.
So what are you doing? What does a Bears beat writer do on a Saturday night before a game?
It's a good question. I'm kind of feeling it out here. I you know, the last night's travel snafus kind of threw me into a tizzy, and so like the reboot plan is still coming together here. I'm happy to be on the ground. It sounds like from the sounds of it, there was some real travel hell for people, and I might have gotten lucky getting my flight canceled rather than being diverted and stranded on a runway two states away or whatever some other people had to do. So we'll reboot and we'll find some people. I got people on all ends of the city today that I can connect with. I just got to figure out which way and what time.
I think you should come over for DJ Glaze's set. You know, I mean,
get the exclusive.
I'm in.
Yeah, and then we're gonna go see Tears for Fears at the Fontainebleau tonight.
Oh, very nice.
Let's go.
Very nice. Yeah, I can see the Sphere from my hotel room window, and I've heard a lot of good things about that. I think they got Wizard of Oz here this week at that Sphere.
Actually, true story. We're not gonna go see Tears for Fears. That was false. But this afternoon, me and Mitch Rosen are going to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. Among
you
others,
are? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like there's an 11 a.m., a 2 p.m., and a 5 p.m. from what I can see out my window right now. You going to the 2 p.m.?
We're going to the 2 p.m. Come on over, Dan. Let's hang. Let's hang.
There you go. Sphere.
Don't go with them.
What?
Don't.
How dare you? I'm going to be taking field notes on everybody's activity.
Well, I mean, anyone that chooses to go see that at the Sphere, I'm kind of certain what their activities might be.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be like Alan Lomax checking out Trippers in the Wild.
Dan, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the heroic effort to be on with us, man. And we know that travel was crazy last night, but we appreciate you.
Hey, the hero was Amitra on American Airlines customer service. She's the one that got me rebooked. We had a great time in the hour we were talking together. And so she is the hero that got me here and capable of being on the air with you guys this morning.
Shout out to Amitra. That's we appreciate tremendous. That.
That is tremendous.
All right, Dan, we'll talk, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
Yeah, man, it's like this place is swimming with Bears fans, but a lot of people are sleeping or catching up or didn't quite get there. You know, didn't quite get here the way that they wanted to. But, you know, you can recover. You got to rise up and party like it's, you know, like it's Vegas.
Like you're in Las Vegas. And that's a good thing. Why don't we take a break? We've got one more segment before we turn it over to Cubs baseball. Important game for the Cubs today, by the way.
Yes, very important game because the Padres came back and won that thing. We were all watching Fernando Tatis.
Tatis Jr.
And Yu Darvish pitching well enough to grab himself a win last night. By the way, after the Cubs game today, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon preview show will air with our guy, Kerry Pinkowski, because 2 weeks from tomorrow, the marathon airs live on the Score from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. So the Bank of America Chicago Marathon preview show after the Cubs game today with Kerry Pinkowski.
So we'll talk about Ashton Jeanty, and we'll let you hear from our guy Wani about all of this next here on the Score.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes show live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Walking here at Stadium Swim, like, Bears fans have taken this place over space.
Dude, Frank from New Lenox listens every day. Just said hello to him.
I was just down on the other end, and, like, people were like, hey!
Yeah, man. This dude right here is from Tampa. He listens in his office every day.
The boat captain?
No, the one behind him. Yeah, the other dude. Boat captain hat is a Bears hat, by the way.
I know.
It's outrageous.
And a super fan shirt.
By the way, very important item that people should be aware of. Tonight at Barry's, the steakhouse here, we've got a reservation, our big group, at 6:30.
Right.
At 9 o'clock, the entire crew of AM1000 has a reservation. So there's going to be an Anchorman-style showdown right about 8:50, I think, before those guys sit down. Or if we're holding their table, I'm going to order a third nightcap just out of spite. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to let those guys sit down.
I like a bunch of the people over there.
That's not the point.
Yeah,
that's
so do I, point. But I'm still going after Adam Abdallah with the trident if I can. It's my guy.
Oh, that's fair
But
enough.
Not tonight, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's rivalry night, okay?
It's rivalry night. It's right.
So I have to punch Cap in the face even though I like Cap quite a bit?
Again? You're going to do that again?
Yeah, you do. I have to beat Yurko bigger than I used to beat him in our fantasy football league when we were in one together.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take that man down. I'll do it. I'll do what I got to do.
I don't know if I can be violent around Dion. She's like the nicest person in the world.
Oh,
I would not want her to think badly of me.
Well, that's going to get in the way of our showdown.
You know, and Peggy and I used to work together.
Oh, man. See, I know.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm out.
Who's our guy, J-Mac, going to be there?
Probably, right? He'll be doing sidelines tomorrow.
I mean, Jonathan Hood used to make sure that I stayed awake as I produced the Murph and Fred show, and I appreciated that. But I'm still gonna beat the crap out of him.
Okay.
Just out of sport.
Okay. Sounds good. Right, sounds buddy. Like a rumble.
All right, I'll let you know.
Is it 6:30? Is that
6:30?
It's 6 o'clock, but it has to be 6:30 because you guys are gonna go see the Wizard of Oz.
I don't know.
They're off to see the Wizard.
Yeah, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. There we are.
I was figuring out how much time I have to be out here at Stadium Swim yelling at Alabama.
Oh, dude. I'm worried about you.
That game is
I believe hell is coming to breakfast for Kalen DeBoer. Lawrence Holmes.
He's a guy that needs to keep a cap on. And trust me, as a man who needs to keep a cap on, he's a man who needs to keep a cap on. It takes away from his aura. Anyway, we were talking about Ashton Jeanty.
Because he's a really good running back who hasn't had a lot of explosive performances yet. He actually had a bunch of runs over 10 yards last week. That was his first one where he showed some of that last week. And Pete Carroll thought he had a good game overall. But, you know, Ben Johnson loves him. Bears fans loved him, and now he's a Raider.
They've had a lot of issues offensively. Like, that line is, hasn't been able to get together. Dave Wannstedt was on with us, and if you haven't checked out our Wanny segments, you do need to go check him out on the Score's YouTube page, because now he's drawing stuff up for us, too, on a dry erase board, and it's awesome. But Wanny talked with us about the weakness of this Raiders team.
I have two concerns. No, I know I've had a positive show. I don't want to say it's not negative. Two concerns.
Concerns are okay. Concernville is a lovely little place.
Positive.
Okay.
We got to keep grinding on that running game. All right. We're okay running the ball, but we got to shore up our run defense. Okay.
Averaged 7.5 yards a carry last week.
Coach, in three games, we're around 6 yards. And let me tell you something. If my Hurricane. Tyreek Stevens doesn't get that ball out on that opening drive.
Oh, you betcha.
Coach, that might, I give him a, well, in the old days at Miami, he'd have been well taken care of, okay?
Whoa. Okay. Statute of limitations is up. Yeah. What does he get?
No, coach.
Bag of cash?
Yeah, no, coach. Okay.
Expense account?
But let me tell you, that was a huge play, okay? That was a momentum changing play. Now they're back doing it for illegally.
Hot tub stacked with people? What does he get?
What do you think Mario Cristobal's doing? Please.
It's Miami. You can find a lot of fun down there in Coral Gables. It's a good time.
Number two in the country.
Coach is the best.
He really is. And trying to explain to people, like, about his ability to be charming, all you need to remember is that he was the lead recruiter at Miami.
And also at USC for John Robinson.
Yeah. Like, anyone who's around him gets it, and I love that people are on board now with the segment and they're enjoying it. But, yeah, the Ashton Jeanty thing is really interesting to me. And it's not because I wanted the Bears to draft a running back in the first round.
I'm glad they didn't. You know me, I was against it as a concept.
I would have understood it. It would be nice if you started to see some of the dividends from Colston Loveland, and you can see why they did it.
Yeah.
But he, by the way, is questionable for tomorrow's game. So there's that, because he's got the hip injury that he's dealing with, and you know, you start thinking about what this game could look like with all the injuries, and you go, it might not be a fun week, but here's hoping that it is.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about drafting a running back that high is, like, you got to have your ducks in a row on the offensive line if you're going to do that. You know, it's just,
because you don't want that kid getting beat up for an entire year with no success.
Right. And it's a luxury pick that's supposed to put you over the top.
Yes.
Like Jahmyr Gibbs did for the Detroit Lions. Like that is the last one that I can look at and be like, yep, that was a real good idea. You could even question whether Saquon Barkley was a worthwhile pick for the Giants, because it's not like they had themselves a great run with Saquon there. Saquon's a great player. That's indisputable. But the draft pick in terms of your assets is another question.
I feel like, because it's a heritage franchise, we don't talk a lot about this, I feel like the Giants are kind of a clown organization.
I totally agree, dude. I totally agree. And right now, that Brian Daboll, your head coach's tenure, is linked to whether Jackson Dart is any good as a rookie.
It's so unfair to that kid.
Oh,
man.
My God. And it speaks to the whole clownishness of the organization. This often happens all around the NFL.
Like, if you wanted to move on from Russ, and I get that, then start Jameis and make Jackson Dart your number two and continue to have package of plays for him. But it just feels like they're tossing that kid to the wolves. And
yeah,
the whole reason that people do that is because they're so worried about the quarterback clock overall. And it's a mess. Before we get out of here, let's get back to the Cubs for a second, Speak.
Yo.
We were talking yesterday, and we're like, yeah, you know, Cubs with a win. If the Padres were to lose last night, they would have clinched that top spot as a wild card team. And it would have allowed for the Cubs to kind of get guys off their feet a little bit, not worry about taxing a bullpen. The win last night by the Padres keeps the pressure on the Cubs, and now the Cubs kind of have to play it real today. They got to play it straight up because they're still playing for something.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And they've got to – it's the Padres. It's interesting. The Padres play later, and they might be able to lay down the sword and rest their pitchers for 2 days.
100%.
So all of a sudden the advantage in that regard is oddly switched to the Padres in terms of getting their vaunted bullpen, which is now minus Jason Adam, who hurt himself about a week and a half ago terribly. It's a weird thing because if you're the Cubs then – do you use your best guys today to close down a game? Do you use Brad Keller?
Yes, because you will theoretically have tomorrow is a nothing, Monday is an off day, you're not traveling.
You get the 2 days.
And now everyone's full go once you are ready for the Padres to come into town.
And this Cubs lineup is a real one. Nico Horner's batting second behind Michael Busch. Ian Happ is third. Kyle Tucker is DHing. Saya in right field. PCA and Swanson and Sean Carson Kelly. So it's the full-on lineup. Yeah, they're
going to
go.
They got to play it straight up. They have to.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens this afternoon, and maybe there'll be a clinch situation. All we know is that everything of Bears will be covered for you coming up tomorrow. Our pregame show is going to be awesome. We are going to stay here. Like, we're going to do our show from Stadium Swim at Circa on Monday. So it's going to be outstanding, and we are looking for it. For Alex, for Baby T, for our guy Ray, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We are ordinarily on from 2 until 6, and that's when we'll be on Monday. Have fun, y'all. Cubs baseball is next.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas.
Vegas?
For a day.
Don't you think you better pay back that money before you go and lose it?
I'm not gonna lose it, I'm gonna gamble it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't wanna miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.